As we are encroaching on list season, ESPN put out their post-draft NFL power rankings, and we're going to welcome on Jake Murn, who's going to walk us through some of the rankings, where the Browns are, where teams around us are, where teams in the division are, and we're going to go ahead and answer whether they're too high, too low, or just right. Jake, welcome in.
Yeah, guys, let's start with the Cleveland Browns. They are ranked 29th after the NFL draft in these power rankings. They have their most improved position as running back, of course, with the Jets, Titans, and Giants as the only teams behind them. So the Browns at 29, guys.
It feels just right. There's a part of me that thinks that they should be 31st or 32nd, and then I remember that the Giants exist. I remember that the Titans, even without Cam Ward, exist, and it just feels like 29 seems appropriate.
I think it might be a skosh too high. I think there's the Browns and one other team that are ranked in the 20s that should absolutely be in the 30s. I really do. I think this is.
Is your other team the Panthers?
I'm not doing it.
Not doing it quite yet.
I don't want to give it away when we then, you know, do that team. It would be weird if we did the Panthers because we're in Cleveland. But I can answer to it. But
I know you can.
But I think this is setting up to be a really. The only saving grace I have for this team is a healthy offensive line in that defense.
Well, so I mean, you can see based off of what the Giants did, based off of what the Titans did. I think Cam Ward alone should take you out of the 30s, don't you?
I actually think the Titans probably belong in this. I don't think that's a good team. I don't know that Cam's going to save that franchise.
I mean,
I think for them to not have
you take him with the number one overall pick with the idea that he's going to save the franchise.
Over years,
does it happen in year one or does it not?
I don't think this is like Washington last year.
I got more of a feeling like Drake May with the Patriots last season and how it kind of goes down, even though he will get to start week one, which is a little bit different.
Yep.
But you end up with not a lot of wins, but you see that he's your franchise quarterback, and then you really make a push the year after.
Like, I think if the Browns do more than 5 or 6 wins, and even then, 5 or 6 wins might be a real accomplishment with this roster, depending on how it happens. I don't think people nationally are giving enough credit to how off the rails this season can go. I think this team has a median floor or median ceiling and a tremendously low floor. And I just the lost part of this is, does the Deshaun situation hang over this? You know, is there fallout still from that? Is Kevin the right leader to lead them out of 3-14? I think those things matter as much as just talent. And oh, by the way, I think your roster is flawed in a lot of ways right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll find out. I do think it's interesting, though, because having just decent quarterback play compared to what you saw with Deshaun Watson over the past couple seasons, you should at least, even though it's going to be very much a question mark as to who it is, and we might go through 3 or 4 different quarterbacks, you should look better in totality from the quarterback spot. And listen, Nick, you're going to be better than you were offensively last year. There's no way to look worse than what they were last year offensively.
They've got a quarterback room with Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
They could look worse.
It's got to be better than 32nd in points scored last year.
I don't know it does. It might be because if you...
What was it, 15 points a game last season?
I could see this offense scoring 15 points a game, absolutely.
I think there is going to be a little bit of a bump up because I think anyone with a pulse is going to have a little bit of a bump up relative to what we had with quarterback last year.
I mean, Jameis Winston is better than Kenny Pickett. Ooh, man, do you realize how much that hurts to say?
I don't know about that.
Oh, I do. Jameis can execute a pass down the field consistently. Sometimes just to the other team.
But it's a combination of Deshaun Watson and then Jameis Winston and then I'll just go Leroy Jenkins, Jameis Winston, and then into 3 games of DTR who should never have started a game in his life.
I think we grew into, much like Joe Flacco 2 years ago, I think we grew into Leroy Jenkins, Jameis. I don't think we got it at the beginning.
I think he's the only Jameis that actually exists.
I think he had some hope early, and he was restrained, Jameis.
Okay.
And then the Globe game happened, and I think he really thought, I've got this job, I'm going to be great.
He's a house guest that you welcome in, and then 3 months later gets more comfortable and more comfortable and more comfortable. And before you know it, they're doing things that nobody should be doing. That's Jameis Winston.
Too high, too low, just right.
I tried
baby. The Browns are ranked 29th on ESPN's NFL post-draft power rankings. Is that too high, too low, just right? Next up there, Jake.
Yeah, I mentioned it there with a team below the Browns. The New York Giants, ranked 32nd, dead last in the NFL. Their most improved position at quarterback. They redid that room, obviously, and they drafted Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart in the first round. But are they really the worst team in the NFL?
They're not. They're way too low. They might have the 11th pick next year. I would rubber stamp this. The Giants will not have a top 10 pick next year.
So I know you like their defense a ton. We've debated that way more than we ever probably should in this show, if we're being honest about it. And that's fine. I like their defensive line. I know it's a part you like about their team as well. I can't buy into Russ at all in the slightest bit, but you do have Malik Nabers, and they have a run game. I mean, yeah. They do. Tyrone Tracy was 1,100 yards from scrimmage last year. Like they have a really good skill position standpoint to go ahead and launch off of.
I think they have enough. Listen, I don't think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to be a 7 or 8 win team. So I think this is almost like the reverse big media bias. The only way that this thing, unless Brian Daboll just completely lost that locker room and can't get it back, that's the only way I think this thing goes to that bad, where they're going to have the number one pick next year. Little hopeful thinking there.
Do we see Jackson Dart in the mix at any point?
I think that's a spot where I would give Jackson a chance to steal the job, actually.
Oh, out of training camp?
Yeah.
Oh, I think, I mean,
I don't think you can ever say it until he actually does it. I don't think he will.
Yeah, because the moment you do, that's the moment that Russ is asking to be traded, yeah, asking to be gone. He's not doing any more of that.
So, but yeah, I would give him like a 10% chance of taking that job.
Man, that would be the most. That would be very NFL gossipy and very juicy if that ended up happening.
That would also be the way that the Giants end up getting the number one pick next year. All right, so Giants, too high, too low, just right. I say way too low. Did you say too low too?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, what's up next, Jake?
Yeah, from the best to the worst, the Kansas City Chiefs get the top ranking in these NFL post-draft power rankings. Their most improved position is listed as wide receiver. But do the Chiefs really deserve the top ranking after the blowout in the Super Bowl?
Yep. Until proven otherwise, they're going to come back this year, and then they're going to go like 15-2, and it's going to be annoying. And the offense, I actually think the offense is going to be better this year. But no, until somebody actually stops them from being the best regular season in football, I'm going to say they're the best.
They've earned the number one ranking, but I think they're going to look more like they were last year instead of 2 years ago. And I don't mean from a win-loss perspective. I think they're going to look, the offense will look more like it did last year instead of 2 years ago. And I do think that they are at a spot. I thought they hit this last year around week 8, week 9 or so, where I do think they are overrated in many ways. I really do. And so I don't know what happens. Does Travis Kelce continue to just kind of take it easy in the regular season and then try to show up in the postseason where, oh, by the way, he was not able to do so successfully? What happens with their run game? What happens with the lack of wide receivers? Like, I do think they put Mahomes in a pretty awful position, all things considered. So I'm going to give it to him as an honorary spot, but I don't think it ends up that way at the end of the season.
All right. I don't want to give it away for anybody else. I think they're just right until proven otherwise. What's up next?
Yeah, I've waited long enough. The Pittsburgh Steelers ranked 17th, the most improved position listed as defensive line. But if the season started tomorrow, guys, Mason Rudolph or Will Howard would be their starting quarterback. Is this 17th ranking fair for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback. This ranking was too generous.
You answered it.
Too generous. Yeah. Until they have a quarterback, and even when it becomes Aaron Rodgers. Them with Aaron Rodgers, 17 feels right. Them with Mason Rudolph feels more like 24-25.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Them with Aaron Rodgers, that's a top 14 team. That is. I would rank them top 14. Them without Aaron Rodgers.
Wait, top 4 or top 14?
Top 14. Top 4. I'm not sniffing glue here.
Wow, you said it like you were like really like, whoa, wait a second.
I just didn't enunciate properly.
I was like, wait a second.
But no.
I think they're better than half of the teams in the league. Okay.
With Aaron Rodgers, I would put them as a top 14 team. Without Aaron Rodgers, they might be a bottom 12 team. So, I think Aaron's going there, so I'll actually say it's actually probably just a touch low.
Did you hear the new theory around Aaron Rodgers and him waiting to potentially sign with the Steelers? No. And listen, I was the person that was like, hey, I think it's going to happen in the big night out, McAfee.
Yeah.
Wrong about that. So I have a lot of leeway to be wrong about this one as well. The rumor on the streets is that Rodgers is waiting until after the schedule is released because he thinks Mike North and the people in the NFL screwed him over with the Jets last season and giving him a bunch of nighttime games, a bunch of Thursday night games, a bunch of Monday night games, and he thought it put him off to a really awful start last season. And so he's basically holding the schedule makers hostage because there's a chance. Like, you can't put Mason Rudolph on five primetime games, and they won't risk that and roll that dice. And so Aaron Rodgers wants the beginning part of his season to be nicer and better than it was last year with the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers thinking that much, thinking anyone thinks that much about Aaron Rodgers, it probably makes sense. All right, let's go lightning round here.
Yeah, the Bears, I think it's an interesting one. They're ranked 21st. Offensive line obviously got massively improved. It's huge win for Caleb Williams. Are they too low here?
What'd you say, 21st?
21st for the Bears.
That's a ridiculous ranking. They deserve to be better than that because Loveland and I'm not a Luther Burden guy. You know that. But Luther Burden is a three wide receiver. I can get on board with that. They fixed the offensive line. They fixed the defensive line. And I've just really believed Ben Johnson is better than that. Plus, they got the Pope on their side now.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's just right. Caleb Williams has a lot to prove this year.
No doubt about that. And he's got to stay upright, too. 68 sacks last season. They got him murdered last year.
I actually think Ben Johnson has a chance here. I just think it's tougher to be the offensive head coach, Wunderkin, that pulls Caleb Williams into prominence than it is to be the offensive coordinator that pulls Jared Goff to prominence, who had already had a successful career to that point.
What is funny to me is the lack of national media went really hard for the Bears last season.
Mm-hmm.
Like Nick Wright, for instance, put him in the NFC title game. You're going to have the effect of the Bears letting everyone down from a national perspective haunt them this offseason, because more people will talk like 21 or 22 than give them any sort of credit or benefit of the doubt now.
All right, who's up next?
The Cincinnati Bengals missed the playoffs last year, but ranked 10th in the NFL after the draft.
Way too high. This is embarrassing. They're not.
That's not embarrassing. Joe Burrow is your quarterback.
Okay, so Joe Burrow and the scrubettes. Like they don't have a defense. And quite frankly, they missed a huge opportunity to rebuild that defense in a meaningful way.
I'd buy Joe Burrow and the scrubettes tickets.
They'll be the eighth seed again this year. They'll be an 8-9, 9-8 team. They'll miss the playoffs by a game, all because they didn't want to spend and actually invest in that defensive line the way they did when they signed DJ Reader and Trey Hendrickson 4 years ago when they wanted to boost that defense and give Joe Burrow a chance.
I'm okay with mocking them for not doing anything defensively. I think that's fair. I think that's what we should be doing. Them trying to push the boundaries of how much offense can just win you games is an interesting proposition, but I think Joe Burrow's earned the right to be top 10, and I want to say just right. It feels just right.
Hmm. What else you got?
The last team in our division, the Baltimore Ravens, ranked 5th. We know they had a great draft in Malachi Starks and Mike Green, but is 5 too high for the Ravens?
I still don't know Mike Green fixed their pass rush. They rely a lot on system pass rush. Now, that being said, they'll bring back Jadeveon Clowney and have 55 sacks next year. I think this is about just right. Like I think they're right in the thick of it. I think if you go teams 1 through 6 or 7, I think they're all kind of interchangeable. I think this is just right.
I feel like they'll be in the AFC title game, and so that would imply that they're one of the top 4 teams in football. But in order to do that exercise, that means I have to kick some people out, right? Can you give me the 4 teams ahead of them?
I believe it's the Chiefs at 1, obviously, Eagles at 2, and then
Bills and Lions.
Bills and Lions, yeah.
That have them as the 3rd best team in the AFC.
It feels right. Even though I want to put them in the AFC title game, I don't think they're better than Buffalo, and Buffalo is getting better with each passing year. I don't think they're better than the Chiefs. It's going to come down to seeding more than it's going to come down to anything. Do the Bills take on the Chiefs in the early rounds like they historically have, or do you end up in a situation where maybe the Ravens end up on the wrong side of that, and that team ends up against the Chiefs in the AFC title game once again?
That is too high, too low, just right. Good stuff. Jake, when we come back, the word questionable has been thrown around quite a bit. I don't know that that's even the right word in this specific instance. That's coming up in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, I don't think Dylan Gabriel should feel an ounce of pressure other than he's a NFL player. Like there's a specific amount of player that just I think everyone should feel because of the scarcity of jobs, the finite nature of NFL careers, How easy it is to get run out of the league, although I don't think most guys really understand that when you first come in the league. But I think Shador does come in with a bit more pressure.
Yeah, I agree. And also, we got to take in where they were projected or where they thought they were going to be. And this is not for Shador. This is more for Dylan Gabriel. If Dylan Gabriel thought he was going to be a 6th or 7th round pick this entire time, then he's lucky to hold a clipboard. And if everything in the world goes right for him, maybe, just maybe, he can be the once every decade you have a Brock Purdy or a Tom Brady. But he's not expecting that. There's no pressure attached to that. He probably... There's a real chance Dylan Gabriel had his next job outside of football already lined up before the draft took place.
You think he's doing the Krenzel insurance?
There's a real chance he has Phil Knight in Oregon already hooking him up with a job at Nike or something
like
that.
The amount of really good college, like winning college quarterbacks that turn into like great insurance salesmen. This sounds like a personal attack. I've just noticed, like, Krenzel was the first one. There are so many dudes that were really good in college but never made it in the league. They then just turn out and be like, I'm going to go into insurance and make a butt ton of money.
Also, Texas football has taught us that there's enough positions out there with really successful people with a lot of money that will just give you like $200,000 a year just because you play quarterback at Texas and they want you in their office.
I noticed it with people that played at Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a thing.
It pays to keep paying.
Yeah, and I would bet Dylan Gabriel probably already had thought and lined up who exactly around Oregon was going to give him one of those jobs.
I don't really know what it pays to keep paying really means, but we're going to go with Demos in Shaker. Demos, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I'm from Warren, and Maurice Claret had a really nice car when he was in high school, so let's not, you know, get past that. But I want to bring up a dynamic that has not really happened in the NFL yet. And it's the impact and the interpersonal dynamics of what NIL means. Okay. Think about Shador. He's made more money in the past year than his rookie contract. Okay. So when he has to go up against all these linemen who from 6-8 years ago, who never saw a dime on that level, call it jealousy even, you know, because he's coming in rich. He's made more money maybe than some guys maybe are going to make in the next few years. If this line doesn't protect him, you know, if I were Shador, I'd be taking care of my line real good, because you have no idea that whole dynamic, how that's going to play out. None of these veterans have that. And you know there's a pecking order in the NFL. And Shador better watch out, because he, you know, his humility, the way he carries himself, he's got to go extra hard in that vein, or else there's going to be some guy on the defensive line is going to turn himself into a
Demos. That was over the line.
He did that whole ramp up just that, didn't he?
I think he actually had that written down, like, do not forget that one.
By the way,
we couldn't let that one fly, by the way. I'm sorry. We loved the attempt because you played the game. We just couldn't let that one out there.
All right, a couple things there. One, the idea that, you know, first off, Shador's got Deion's money to begin with anyway. I'm not saying that's his money. That's Deion's money. But whether he played football or not, he was going to be generational wealthy and taken care of. But that's not the point. The point is, what quarterback enters the NFL without a lot of money at this point? Like, Dylan Gabriel was valued in his NIL with advertising deals and everything to have made over $5 million in college. Like, all these guys come in with a substantial amount of money.
And that means he's a diva. Apparently, if you have money coming from college, it does mean you're a diva.
It's just every quarterback comes in with a lot of money. These NIL deals are insane. They all make a lot of bank. Quinn Ewers, a 7th-round pick, made how much money in his college career? We know Ohio State gave him $1 million.
It was $1 million the first year, and then
it only
knows,
compounded from there.
The next 3 years after.
It's a 7th-round pick. And Dylan Gabriel himself was supposed to be a 6th or 7th-round pick. And these guys both of them are worth over $5 million in NIL.
So we obviously have more on the Shador side of things. And just as a quick aside, some of the schedule leaks are starting to come out, and I just could not hate that anymore. But that's not what we're going to talk about here.
I saw the one for the Browns.
Don't care.
It's not reputable. We can't talk about it, but yeah. But you're not a schedule guy or what?
Oh, I just hate the whole thing. I hate and here's the thing. I hate how much people just, social media just loves the schedule leaks. And I just, It just misses me. It just goes all the way over my damn head.
So the best part about the schedule leaks is it's always radio people in different cities that get to be the schedule leaker, because usually it's connected to somebody in the NFL front office. Like a lot of the sourcing stuff when it comes to like injuries and everything, that doesn't come from people like me and you. But with the schedule leak, it always does. And I've thrown my hat in the ring for years. I want to be the Brown schedule leak guy. If you,
I don't think you've done the work. I don't think you carry enough water for this organization.
I want to be that guy. I know I don't. And my paycheck doesn't have a Browns logo in the top right corner.
Yep.
I would love to be. But that's why it's not Browns related. It's all NFL front office related. Now they make their connections. NFL front office, I'd love to be your Cleveland rep.
I would love to like set myself up to be the schedule leaker and then just sit on the news. Just not react to it in any way. Not tweet it out. They'll be like, oh, you must have missed the tweet. I sent the tweet out. I got like 100,000 likes. Like, what? What are we talking about here? And just lie and just never leak a damn bit of news. Never tell anyone.
Never tell anyone?
No, because I'm ethical. And the schedule leaks are unethical.
They're not unethical.
It's just.
They're fun.
Oh, week five in Tottenham? Oh, wow. That totally changes the.
I like this. How did you do a night show? And not have fun with the schedule game. That was like one of my most fun nights of the year was doing the schedule game. You're in this time of the season, not much is happening, and then you just get to. I loved it. I had a blast with that.
Unless you are Ken and Anthony, who elevated the schedule game to a specific level. I think the schedule game is now hack.
It's jump the shark.
I not for Ken and Anthony, because if you create the bit, it can't be hack if you do it. Unless you did it like constantly, which they don't do. But I think other people saw Ken and Anthony make a lot of fun of it. And again, like when we all did it early, okay. I mean, we're 10 years into the bit now. Like if it's, no, it's I, this, I think, this to me is the same as like candy mock drafts on Halloween. Whoa, man, that's
candy mock drafts.
You guys nailed it.
This is NFL related. It's directly, it impacts a lot of people's travel, by the way. It impacts a lot of people, what dates and where they're going to go and what they do.
So finding out 5 days earlier than the entire schedule, what's the difference?
Oh, you're just talking leaks in general then. I'm talking about the actual schedule game. Like the actual, they tell us where we're playing and tell us who we're playing.
When the actual schedule comes out,
you're excited about that?
I don't think excited is the right word.
Okay, then.
But I go, oh, cool. Yeah, I like this. I don't like that. This is cool. This is not cool. And then I move on with my life.
I'll let you know, I once did get the whole entire schedule hours before everyone.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything with it. And I did sit on it the way that you're describing.
Yeah.
And
out of principle, or you just didn't?
So the only thing I did out of it, I'll let this out. The only thing I did do out of it, because the schedule releases at about 8 o'clock or so, and I went on the 7 o'clock hour. And I basically laid out the entire schedule the Browns were going to have and be like, just a hunch. Here's why this should happen. I was like Kornacki up there. I'm like, here's why this should happen. Here's why this should happen. I see week 11 against the Cowboys. I see week 5 against the Bengals because of this and this and this. And basically, I just nailed the whole entire hour because I had the whole entire schedule.
Did you let people in on the bit?
No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. I couldn't because it was not. I couldn't do it.
Oh, I think like 1% less of you right now.
There was enough people that were tweeting and being like...
There was
enough people
radio.
Tweeting, and it was enough of me being like, I really got that one right, didn't I? But like it came with a wink, wink, and I had, you know, like one of those type things. But no, I couldn't, because the way that I got the info was not on the up and up. It was not.
It would have
outed my source immediately, and so I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to compromise.
You could have, no one would have been paying attention if you were just like, hey guys,
I just couldn't, because I was just so worried about compromising how I ended up getting the information. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
This is another piece of information proves you would just not last well in prison.
Oh, I think to say why I'd be a bad priest.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's not the most ethical thing that I did in the world. I was not very honest in that moment.
Not at all.
And I definitely did take my own personal gain over everything else in that moment.
Like, did you take victory laps, like, for weeks? Like, remember,
No. And,
this is the guy that got the schedule right before they released it.
Not at all. The beautiful thing about it, and it's why I remind myself constantly, no one cares if you get anything right, is because I nailed it for that whole entire hour. And it might have been like two people being like, wow, you had a lot of things right there, didn't you? And it wasn't even like you did a good job in that moment. None of that at all. So what I'm volunteering to the NFL front offices, I will be your Cleveland rep. I will do this job, and I will leak them out, maybe one on the hour, by the hour. I can be your guy. I'd love to be that guy. But I want to do it on the up and up.
And then I'd call you out for it. I just have to jam you up for it out of principle.
No, I mean, I would be a great priest because I'm very principled. I'd be able to attach sources, and then you just kind of
so you just be like, Steve in accounting for the Browns told me about this?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Why would I say my sources?
The guy all whose the people job that just say sources is out called there? Scouting director told me this.
Well, no, it would be funny as if I got it just very, very wrong.
Yeah.
Because that's the type of thing that people do not forget. Nah, but they don't remember when I did the whole first hour. I just went on and I just laid it all out there. And it was like, if you're paying attention, you're basically getting the whole entire thing beforehand. And if not, that just sucks for you. And then we did the 8 o'clock hour and just nothing happened. We just kept it moving.
I think this was questionable.
I don't think so, really.
So this started out as such a great day for Catholics.
This very much tracks for me.
I think Catholicism has taken a big hit in the last 5 minutes or so.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
It really is like a cheat code to just making me laugh like an idiot because I immediately start smiling. And I can't even make eye contact because what you do is Peter Lynn like raises his chin and he's singing to the heavens and he's looking to the ethereal plane. He's seeing the old popes and he's waving and he's like, we got the young pope here. We got Pope Leo. We're in good hands here. And waving at him like it's Happy Gilmore waving at Chubbs in heaven. That's what you're like when you're singing, like a majestic bird singing to the ether.
It's a long way up to those clouds. I got to get all the way up there.
That's true. You got to project.
Got to get all the way up there.
Like an opera singer.
Can't hear me if I whisper.
In case we missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.